Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. You're listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance, What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry. And tonight we have a very special guest, Nate Kane, former cybersecurity expert, who is with the United States Army. He's a veteran. He served as a civilian with the Navy, the Marine Corps. He has worked with NSA and for a while worked with the FBI until he turned whistleblower. And I don't think that went over real well, but he's the one that broke the Uranium One scandal with Hillary Clinton. And he's been telling us his story. But Nate, as you were telling the story that when I went and looked Jeremiah 5, for among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares and set a trap to catch men. And God was talking about down in verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? In your case, you stood and did what the Lord wanted you to do. You came out with the truth. You became a whistleblower. And you were walking through these wicked men, the ones. And I got to thinking, we've got the, I've said this on the radio many times, we've got the best government money can buy. America's downfall has been its corruption, people selling themselves out for money and power. And it's usually money, and it's usually power and benefits. And they surround themselves with other wicked men to protect themselves, to protect the institution they're in government. And it continues to grow and get stronger. And the more it grows, the stronger it gets, the more wicked it becomes. Would you say that's a true statement?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so much that so much corruption that exists that it's almost mind-boggling. And, you know, I had that was kind of a wake-up moment for me when I saw that, because I didn't realize, you know, we all fall under this illusion of believing, we want to believe that our justice system is righteous or fair. Because if we don't believe that, then what does that implicate? And what does that mean?
Right.
You know, how many of these people are in jail, you know, maybe shouldn't be, and how many people are not in jail that should be? And, you know, that's a scary thing, because one thing that God certainly does not like is injustice. And but there's a couple of things that happened in my story that were pretty profound and, you know, showed God's grace. One was when I ended up having to get a lawyer. I met with my attorney, and I didn't even pick him. I had somebody else find one for him, because I was in hiding at this point. And I thought it was just a matter of time before they found out what I had done. And by then, you know, they would destroy me. And so I got my lawyer and met with him. And he basically, at some point, said, yeah, you're in some serious trouble. He said, you know, are you independently wealthy, or do you have any rich relatives? And I said, no, why do you ask? He said, because I'm expensive. And he was $750 an hour. When I asked him if he could, yeah, and I asked him if he could go, you know, do the work pro bono. And he said, you're going against Hillary, the FBI, the DOJ, and Russian intelligence agents. And he said, my law partner would throw me out of the office. Too much liability. So I went home that night and I wept. I got with my wife and I cried. I thought for sure I was going to jail, or I was going to be, you know, killed, or both. And I got on my knees, because all I could do was just pray, and I begged and pleaded God to get me out of the mess that I was in. And then I ended up going to sleep, and I woke up every hour on the hour just full of fear. And all I could do was get on my knees and pray until I felt better. And then a couple days passed, and Michael calls me and says, well, you know, something interesting happened. He says, I went down to Nashville, talked to a woman down there. She's an older woman that has some money, and I was going to ask her if she could donate maybe $10,000 to help you get a legal fund started. And she had asked him how much it was going to end up costing, and you know, me. And he said, probably a couple hundred thousand dollars. And she pulled out her checkbook and wrote a check for $200,000.
Oh,
you know,
blessed be the Lord, huh?
Yep. Between several different lawyers and co-counsels, my legal bills came to $198,000. Lord,
God, what the Lord said, He will provide what you need, maybe not what you want, but will provide
right.
what you need. You got just yeah. exactly what you needed, right?
Yeah. The next miracle that happened was about 2 weeks later when we finally had some money, you know, to be able to go and talk to I needed to get some counsel from a defense attorney. And so we went to go meet with Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Towsing. Victoria Towsing, she was representing the other Uranium One whistleblower. There's two of us. I was the one that worked at the FBI. He was the one that was an informant working at 10X. And so he had, you know, basically a bunch of hard drives that the FBI had just left him hanging there, and he wanted to disclose it. And so he was working with her, and she was his defense attorney. So we went there to go talk with her. His name was William Joseph Campbell. And I ended up was sitting in the car, and I was just so full of anxiety. And I just said to Michael, I wasn't sleeping much these days. And I said, can we pray? And he said, absolutely. And he grabbed me by the hands, and he prayed. And while he was praying, I had this memory that flashed back. And 10 years earlier, my wife and I had been going to a church out in California in Moreno Valley. Called Palm Canyon Christian Fellowship, and they were doing an exercise on learning to hear God's voice. And so we had been praying and fasting, and we were supposed to sit quietly with a notepad and just ask the Lord to speak to us and then write down what we hear in that small voice. And so I wrote down what I heard, and I heard, go to Sakaris. Now, I didn't know what that meant. I was on my computer, and that was a smartphone. To MapQuest, and I searched for a place called Sakaris. Could not find a place anywhere in the United States. And funny thing is my wife, she remembered this story because she remembered asking me, you got wrong. You sure you didn't hear Socorro? Because there is a Socorro, New Mexico, and that's Spanish for help. I said, nope, I know what I heard. It was Sakaris with A's, all A's. But I just, you know, I never could figure it out, so I forgot about it. Just, you know, put it on a shelf and moved on with life. Maybe I heard wrong. So right about the time that Michael said amen, I had a flashback of that memory, and I realized his last name was Sakaris, spelled exactly the way.
Last name.
That's right. And I was reminded of the time when Jesus was standing there looking at the temple, and he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And they had no idea what he was talking. They thought he was talking about the temple, as in the building, not realizing he was talking about himself. And I believe that God sometimes talks to us like that, because if we knew exactly what it was meant, or what it meant, then we might try to go fulfill it. But when we don't really fully understand it, then the purpose of it was to give me faith later in life. See, after I remembered that, I had no more fear ever again. I mean, like, it literally just disappeared, because I realized from that point forward, I realized that God had taken me down a path for 10 years to lead me to that place where I was right there, and that I was right smack dab in the middle of where God intended me to be, that I did the right thing by blowing the whistle, because had I not, I would never have met Michael Sakaris. And so I knew at that point I was right where I was supposed to be, and I had nothing to fear. And I stopped having anxiety from that point. And not to say that I didn't have scary moments, because several months later, after I completed my whistleblowing disclosure, you know, like I said, the FBI raided my home. That was certainly a scary situation.
Can I interrupt you there?
Sure.
I thought when you got a whistleblower status, you had certain protections, and yet the FBI could come and search your home with those. Didn't they have to get a warrant? And I'm thinking, if you're on whistleblower status, weren't you protected or not? Apparently, I hear there's all kinds of protections, but I get the feeling from everyone I hear that nobody follows or pays much attention to the whistleblower protections.
Well, the whistleblower process is broken, clearly. But what I will tell you is this, it's kind of interesting. The Daily Caller was the first to interview my lawyer. They had heard from some spy that they had in the New York Times that the New York Times was getting ready to write a hit piece on me. So somebody at the FBI leaked the fact that they had raided my home, and the New York Times had a hit piece out that was going to make claims that I had stolen government property,
documents, all kinds of things, right?
Yeah, and that and that the FBI had raided me, and certainly they were going to dox my name and all of that. So the Daily Caller came to my lawyer and said, "We have word this is going to happen. Would you like to get your side of the story out first?" And my lawyer reluctantly gave them an interview because he thought it would probably be the best thing. So when he gave them, that, of course, the Daily Caller contacted the U.S. attorney who had ordered the, raid on my home, and asked, what justification was there for raiding a, a protected whistleblower. And his response was the standard, well, we can't talk about ongoing investigations that it might, disrupt our investigations. So they got with their lawyers and they said, okay, what's one question that we can ask? There's no way they can deny us this question. And they decided to file a FOIA request with the U.S. magistrate, or the Maryland magistrate, that signed off on the search warrant. And they asked one question. Were you notified that Mr. Dennis Nathan Cain was a protected whistleblower under the Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act before signing off on the search warrant? And a Clinton-appointed federal judge put a seal on that answer, and then she put a seal on her justification for putting a seal on that answer. Now, considering that the information that I blew the whistle on was about the Clintons, having a Clinton-appointed judge basically hide the reason for why, whether or not she was notified that, or that the magistrate was notified that I was a whistleblower, and then hiding her justification for that seems pretty corrupt to me.
Yeah, very corrupt.
And that still remains, by the way. So I still don't know the answer to that question. But
all this time, there's never been a way for you to force the issue, get an answer, right? Because even that department got you. So what we've got
this is the problem. This is the problem with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, with Section 702 of FISA. The FBI has become weaponized against the American citizens, and they have largely, and listen, there are good agents there, don't get me wrong, there are good people doing good things, like going after really bad guys and, human traffickers and drug dealers and things like that. The fact is that there are an awful lot of people there that are bad actors, and it's not just the leadership, it is some of the rank and file. And the fact is that, they're not honoring their oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In many cases, they are the domestic.
That word domestic, yeah, that word domestic is the big word. And that just reminded me, you are running for Congress here in West Virginia. And as I listen to your story, you are exactly the kind of person I think the Founding Fathers had in mind, that you have some knowledge of what's wrong with government, so you'd probably be one of the best qualified people to be a congressman, because what's the old phrase, where the bodies are buried, where the smoke is coming from. You've already been kind of in the paraphrase, the belly of the beast. Do you think as a congressman, Is there much, do you think, you can do, or are we going to have a dozen of congressmen like you to get anywhere?
Well, we certainly do need a dozen. I mean, we need more than a dozen, you know. But I do believe that God is doing something in the country. I've met more and more people. You know, look, I have no ambition to be a congressman in terms of, like, you know, just human ambition. I have a great, it took me forever to get my anonymity back. It took me forever to build up my, you know, life again, because we lost everything. We had to start over. The FBI ensured that I lost my job at the VA. You know, I got doxxed, which made it hard for me to get a job. I got poisoned twice, once with a agent that gave me heart attack symptoms and once with a neurological agent. I had somebody loosen the lug nuts on my vehicle all the way to the end. The last thing that I want was to have my name and you know, myself exposed out there. We left Maryland to get away from all that and to get us somewhere safe in West Virginia. But what has happened is in 2022, after the 2022 election, I was very disappointed in the outcome of the election. In fact, I felt like there was cheating that had gone on. I had been involved in election integrity work in 2020, and I was so disappointed that 2022, you had the same old kind of cheating going on in Maricopa County and Georgia and Pennsylvania.
I've been screaming about the cheating Democrats for more than 30 years that I've been on radio.
I had been on a team that was providing, we were doing good work and providing that data to Peter Navarro. Was called and asked by the White House to come down and work on election integrity because of my background in cyber. And I ended up, when it's all said and done, after the 2022 election, I remember just being frustrated. And I just said, Lord, I pray that you would raise up righteous men and women to run for office. And you got to be careful what you ask God for, because sometimes he might point at you and say, you know, that's a great idea. Why don't you get right on that? And you also learn something from the Army, right? You know, because I learned not to ever volunteer myself in the Army.
Yep, you were told, but you didn't listen then. But God has a way of changing minds, doesn't he?
He does. So I heard that still small voice again say, well, what about you? And my initial response was, oh, hold on, Lord. I just got my life back. I just started my own cybersecurity company. I just did this. I had all these excuses, and then I realized I was just making excuses. And so I prayed and asked the Lord to give me a couple of confirmations at least, and I did immediately. I mean, I had, like, within 24 or 48 hours, I had three confirmations. Different people who didn't know each other that all suggested to me that I should run for office. And so I decided to go ahead and be faithful and trust the Lord again. And I put my name in the ring. And I got to tell you, this has been the hardest, most exhausting, but also rewarding thing that I've ever done for no money.
Yeah. Wow.
And
do you have I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, do you have a way people can help you, contact you? I'm thinking because nowadays, one thing I've learned real quickly, elections, you have to have money, you have to have some backers, and you don't sound like the kind of person that wants to take the big donor money, because you're already beholden to one boss and you can't have others. So you're going to have to rely on the people.
We've raised over, I think, almost $88,000 now. All of that money has come from individual donors. Not a single dime has come from any PACs, any special interest groups, any corporate PACs, no lobbyists. It's all from individual donors, and it's come from over 40 states.
People are always asking this ministry, what can we do? You know, we tell them to run to the battle, fight the fight. What can we do? Okay, folks, here it is. Here's a Christian conservative Here is somebody who understands the corruption in government. Here's somebody that's willing to stand and tell the truth, stand and fight. You, especially in West Virginia or anywhere in the country, you can donate to him, help him. I mean, we've seen where George Soros and people like this send money across the whole country to, you know, put district attorneys and people into offices. You know, what was it here in, I think it was St. Louis, the lady that ran 98% of all her money came from a George Soros sub-organization. She got in and is, of course, creating havoc. So what can we do, you ask? What can we do? Well, here's a candidate you can get behind. So how do people, do you have a website?
I do.
How do people get a hold of you?
So the best way for people to get a hold of me is through the website. We have a form there that people can reach out to us if they, you know, if they want to, you know, want me to call them or want to, you know, talk about and want to volunteer. But we also, the best way that people can help is, you know, financially contributing. You know, by the way, that $88,000 that has been God, you know, basically providing for us, because we haven't held a, we had one small little ladies' tea, which we brought in, you know, I think maybe like $1,700, but we've not held any other fundraising events. We've not had any, you know, professional help. And I mean, it's just been God providing. And somebody said to me, you know, why should somebody want to donate to somebody that's maybe not in their state? And the reality is that, you know, Congress is really, it's a national position. So even though, yes, I'm supposed to represent people of West Virginia's 2nd District, you may not be able to vote for me, but I can vote for you. Every time your civil rights are involved, every time, you know, the economy of the country and the debt and all these issues that you know, that I can vote on, it's really a vote for you. And so
exactly,
that's one of the things that's important to remember. So the best way for people to reach out to me is through our website. It is NateCain4WV.com. That's spelled NateCain, the number 4WV.com. There's a link in the upper
WV.com, right?
That's right.
Number 4WV.com. Nate,
yeah, and there's a link. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It was just a repeating. Nate Cain, that's N-A-T-E, Cain, C-A-I-N, the number 4, the number 4, small case, W-V, W-N-V, both small case, .com, right?
Yes, and that will take you to our campaign website. There's a link in the upper right-hand corner. It says donate here, and that's where people can donate. There's also on that page you'll find a link to media, and I've done hundreds of interviews, and you know where I get into great detail on a lot of different things. But that's where you can find out where I you know, my interviews, you can listen to them, or if you want to see where I stand on the positions, you know, I have an issues page that gets into detail on where I stand on the issues.
I was just going to ask you, how about if people would set up at their home a meeting where you could come and speak, like a neighborhood watch meeting where you could meet people in
Absolutely.
Our neighborhood? Do you want people to volunteer for things like that?
Please. Yes. Listen, one of the things that I'm facing is I'm running against an opponent who is part of a political dynasty. His aunt is our U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito. His cousin, Shelley Moore Capito's son, is running for governor. So you have a three-headed hydra, basically trying to take over the state here. He was the vice president of the Podesta Group. You know,
the Podesta Group. Okay, right there.
Yes.
We know he's bad.
John and Tony Podesta, he was a foreign registered agent in places like the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, Somalia, Iraq, Hong Kong, Ukraine. And this guy, you know, there's so many. He was endorsed by McCarthy, which should tell you a lot. But the fact is that I'm being blocked in local newspapers. You know, and when I say blocked, I mean we're getting back notices saying you've been blocked. So when we try to submit press releases, we can't get them out to local newspapers. So we are depending on word of mouth. I don't have the money to be able to do the direct mailers that my opponent has $500,000. You know, I don't have that kind of money. So I've got to go out and greet the people and shake hands, press the flesh, kiss the babies, do it the old fashioned way, knock on doors. So it's always better if I have an in, you know, to talk to, you know, 20, 30 people. You know, if you've got a dozen or more, I will travel anywhere within the second district to come out and talk with them. So if there's anybody that is basically Wood County all the way up to the northern, you know, the top of Hancock County, and, you know, if you draw the line, it's not exactly straight, but if you drew a line from Wood County to Hampshire County and Grant County, that would kind of give you an idea of you know, where the lines are. And so it's basically the whole northern half of the state. And, of course, the eastern panhandle. And so if anybody is a listener of yours and they live in any of those areas and they want to help, probably one of the best things you can do, you know, besides donating, is to, you know, offer to hold a meeting in your home. And I'm more than happy to come out. And, you know, when I've preached at churches, I can't campaign at a church, but I can certainly preach. And and I've shared my testimony about what God has done in my life as a whistleblower. And I think it's an encouraging thing. And, you know, if you have a pastor that's willing to, you know, allow me to come share my testimony, I'm happy to come do that, because it's all about people getting to know who I am. And if people know who I am, then the chances are that when they go to the ballot, they're going to see my name on there and they're going to be, oh, Nate Cain's running. I'm going to vote for him. I've had a number of people that have reached out to me, you know, that have heard about me from other people. That's the number one way. And so hopefully, you know, some people in your audience, I know there's probably people in your audience that are in West Virginia, and hopefully they're listening right now, but I need your help. Ultimately, you know, when I look at this, I started off this whole thing as just really an act of obedience. But what's happened is, as I've traveled around the state, I've fallen in love with the people of West Virginia. And there are so many relationships I've made where I've made some friends for life in this whole experience. But I've already started working on trying to help people in West Virginia. We had an opportunity to author a Parents' Bill of Rights and then lobby the state legislature to get that done, protect our children from this transgender issue, and also from the schools trying to take over, you know, from, you know, usurp the rights of parents. We're dealing with a lot of those types of issues in that bill. We've also, I'm working towards helping people who are mineral owners that have been getting taken advantage of by, you know, by big, you know, oil and gas companies. You know, listen, most politicians won't touch this one because they know they'll lose all of that money from the, you know, from the industry. The reality is
from
that
the big
people,
from the big boys.
That's right. The people, though, the people, the actual voters, largely have been getting paid 26% below market value, and we're investigating that and exposing it. And you know, that a lot, most of the people who are in the northern panhandle, you know, either are mineral owners or know somebody that's a mineral owner, and many of these people rely on that. We've got issues like, you know, we're dealing with there's emergency services because of money that they're losing. They've been getting rid of emergency service vehicles in many of these counties. And now people have to wait, instead of 20 minutes for, you know, an ambulance, they got to wait 45 minutes for ambulance. And so I'm looking into ideas on how we can fix that. Dealing with some things that that I think are important. I've met with some farmers to find out what's affecting them. And the biggest thing is the, you know, the inflation, the cost of gas, the cost of fuel for their tractors, the cost of fertilizer because of this war in the Ukraine. Russia has stopped selling us fertilizer, and it's cost us dearly. Obviously, you know, we want to see, I am pro coal, oil, and gas. I want to see us do more drilling, but I want the people whose property and whose minerals are being taken out of the ground to get paid their just and equitable share. And so I'm, you know, I am 100%, you know, for hydrocarbons. You know, as an energy source, I think that this notion that we can have a net zero carbon emissions is has one intention only, and that's to kill us off.
We've got just a few seconds left. So I want to pick it up with you on this environmental issue here in a minute, because you hit on a topic that this is something when you said, why should somebody out of state help you? Because you have an understanding of an issue that could make or break America. With Trump, we were energy independent and strong, and now we're weak. And we're going to have to take a break, and we're going to be right back. So don't go away, folks. There's a lot more to come.
He made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed. Man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All right, we're back. You're listening to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. This is Pastor Joe Larson, a co-host, filling in for my friend and mentor, Pastor Ernie Sanders, who's a little under the weather again, and we'd like to keep him in prayer and get him strong. We've got a big week next week, so I meant to ask for that earlier. Got sidetracked with Coach Dwayne calling in with a prayer request, but everyone out there, if you would tonight and tomorrow, just keep and lift Pastor Ernie up, hold him up in prayer that God will just help him get over this and kick this and get a little bit stronger. He needs some rest, and we just hope that, he just heals quickly. So tonight we're talking with Nate Kane. He is running for Congress, U.S. Congress, in the 2nd District in the state of West Virginia. And you were talking about one of the subjects, one of the big things that the government is using to control us is this environmental stuff, kill off our energy. I'm one of those that thinks the answer to most problems comes from the private sector, and it usually comes from somebody trying to make a profit, trying to find a way to serve people, give them goods or services they want and need at a price they can afford, and bring something of value. I've watched the government. Everything they've ever subsidized that I can see has not worked well. Like the U.S. Post Office, they keep subsidizing it. It keeps going broke. It keeps going in the hole. It never gets any better. And yet the government thinks they can pour out money we don't have, spend money that they are having to print, and they're going to fix the problem. And I think all they're doing is buying votes, trying to get reelected. What do you think, Nate?
I think you're right. I think part of the biggest problem in politics today, quite honestly, is it's the money. And it is the money and the special interests. You know, we send these people to Congress. We send them there with the title of representative. But I got to ask, you know, is that really an appropriate name for them? Because it seems like oftentimes they're not representing us. They're representing the special interest groups or the corporations that – and when I say corporations, let me be clear about something. I'm all for corporations that are here in the United States. But what we've got here that's going on is that there's a lot of what they call multinational corporations that don't have any loyalty to the United States at all. And they're selling off secrets. They're selling off our trade secrets to China and – ultimately sending jobs overseas. And all of these policies are being, you know, really pushed by the globalists. The people who are of the World Economic Forum, I believe that their goal ultimately, and this is why they want net zero, is they want there to be, a massive die-off of the human race. And they want to be the sole, kingdom, where they can rule over the remaining, few and have them as their serfs and their slaves. It seems somewhat conspiratorial, but when they're actually telling you that this is what they want to do, and they certainly do, you just need to go listen to Klaus Schwab talk about how we will own nothing and we will be happy.
And be happy, yeah. The enemy does. Pastor, that's,
right.
That's one thing I think I've done more in this program. The enemy comes out, tells us what they're up to. The enemy says what they're going to do. They often tell us how they're going to do it. And then years later, Ernie and I will talk about it on the radio. People will call us years later and say, well, how did you guys know? Well, the enemy told us what they were doing. We listened.
Right.
We believed what they said when they came out and said something. You know, it's like the Ayatollah, when they go deaf to America, I believe them.
Yes, yes. So the largest provider of jobs in America is small business. That's a fact. You know, it's not Amazon. It's, Google. It's not Microsoft. I mean, they provide a lot of jobs, don't get me wrong, but the largest in total provider of jobs is small business. And right now, the policies are stacked against small business because they don't have somebody that's lobbying on their behalf, down in Washington, D.C. Whereas these big industry giants, these multinational corporations, they can hire, lobbyists to go down there and wine and dine these members of Congress. And so what we need is people who are going to get elected that are going to have impeccable, integrity and not take that sort of thing.
Well, we've got America. I always thought of America, if we look at her like a great ship, and the ship is floating on a large, large, dangerous ocean that goes forever. And people think, well, I'm all focused on my cabin, how big my cabin is, how well decorated it is. But when you're on a large ship, it's also very important that the engines are running, that the steerage is working, that the navigation system works, that the air filtration system, the heating and air system work. Because if it goes out on the ship, it goes out for everybody. And if we start to look at our nation like that big ship that we live on and realize everything that happens affects us in some way or the other, we start having to take care of the ship. And people, I think, have forgotten that about the government. We're supposed to be the sovereigns. It's our government. It's here for us to represent us and our children and our grandchildren, et cetera, down the line. And if we don't take care of our home, our ship, who's going to? The world wants to use and take advantage, and we're going to have to get people in there that care about the country. And you sound like the exact kind of person we need up there. What's the motto we used to have? God, family, country. And the needs of the individual, you know, once these things come a little later. Kyle, or Style, we're having a real bad thunderstorm here, and I could get knocked off, so I'm going to warn you and Nate, you guys might be on your own. It's really, really bad. It's shaking the house and everything, so just a heads up and a warning. This is live radio, folks, so I'm calling in remote. One thing I noticed, I'm looking at some headlines, Nate. German farmers kick off massive protest against policy that threatens their very livelihood. Large convoys of tractors and trucks lined the streets all over the country last week, leading to Berlin Brandenburg Gate as the farmers are standing up to the liberal green coalition government because it's getting ready to phase out any tax breaks for agricultural vehicles and diesel fuel, fuel so high, fertilizers so high, they were so limited in what they could do and use, and they're going out of business. One of the other headlines, green agenda failures all across Europe, how Europe has switched from their going to the zero, you know, world, the folly of climate, you know, net zero. And they found they've had to go back to looking at natural gas, coal, everything else, because all the money they invested didn't work. They can't live on the renewable energy. Their economies are suffering. It seems like this nation doesn't seem to look next door and say, look, they were way ahead of us. They have their green agenda failing. It's failing now. They are switching, turning around, going the other way. And yet this country just plods straight ahead like we're going to do this come, what's that expression, heck or high water?
I think, you know, there are people.
You're going to try and stop this mess if you get in there.
Well, I think there are people right now that they realize that the greatest impediment to world domination is the United States. The United States has been a force for peace. For all of the ugliness that, you know, the things that we have as problems in our country, and we do have plenty. The fact is that more missionaries have come out from the United States than any other country in the world to bring, you know, Christ to other nations. We're the largest, most generous people on the face of the planet in terms of the amount of money that we've given for aid and helping other nations that are going through difficult times. And the fact is that the greatest gift of all that America, I think, has given to the world has been, you know, the democratic process of the, you know, of a democratic republic. Our form of government, you know, has been, you know, really something that has changed the world for the better. But there are forces at work trying to destroy all that. And so we need people that are going to be in there that are going to protect our country and that are going to stand up, you know, for the values. For the principles that have made America great, and those principles are basically, you know, based straight out of scripture. So when I think of that term MAGA, make America great again, it begins by making America godly again. Even something as simple as, you know, as basically mastering, you know, our resources and mastering our country. You know, and things like drilling and mining and all of that, you know, what was God's commandment to mankind? He told us to basically, have dominion over this earth. And that is what we should be doing. We shouldn't be shying away from it cleaner and better and more efficient? Absolutely. But ultimately, we've got to master it. And I think we can make life better for everyone. And I do believe that, right, when the government gets involved in something, the more involved they are, the more socialistic something is, the more prone it is to fail. And all of this green energy stuff largely is a big grift. You look at the people that are involved in West Virginia, in Hancock County, in Weirton, they put in a company called Form Energy. Form Energy is a battery-making factory that's going to make these gigantic iron air batteries. They got major subsidies from our taxpayers here in West Virginia, $290 million. Then they got subsidies from the federal government for, I think, $400 or $500 million more. And in the end, you know, you've got who's involved in it? George Soros, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Tom Strayer, Jack Ma. I mean, literally the worst of the worst, the far left, and BlackRock, you know, full-on ESG company. And all of that is involved in it. So clearly, you know, there's something going on. And I think it's that they know they can grift the American people by creating, you know, all of this fear surrounding climate changing, which happens every year. We have the climate change at least four times.
If you go back in history, I remember the Vikings, when they were, in Greenland, they were raising goats and wheat, and now they're worried that the ice cap is melting, all the ice is melting off Greenland, and it used to be, that was back before the internal combustion engine, so we know that the climate has changed drastically. Style, how many minutes do we have?
Eight.
8 minutes? Okay, my clock is, I'm losing power here, flickering on and off. I've got an old-fashioned phone and still working. Nate, before, while we have the chance, how can people get a hold of you again? I want you to give that out and make sure that everybody knows how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me is through our website. It is Nate Kane. The number 4, WV.com. So that's NateCain, the number 4, WV.com. And by the way, I'm on pretty much all social media, whether it is Facebook or Twitter, or I call it X now, Getter, Truth Social, Instagram, Gab. If it exists, I'm probably on it. And the best way to find me on there and follow me is to use that same handle. At Nate Kane for WV. So you can go on WV. And find me on just about all the social media that
Whiskey
way.
Victor, right? For Whiskey Victor?
That's correct.
All
just
right.
Think West Virginia.
Folks, forgive me. I'm having trouble hearing. Like I said, we're in the middle of one heck of a thunderstorm, and the house is shaking. I'm losing light, so forgive me. But I wanted to make sure I got that right and that everybody else did. Okay, we're coming up toward that kind of the end of the program. The last few minutes we do an invitation, but one of the things has been so nice to have somebody running for office that knows if you put the Lord first, then everything else falls into place. And I just wish more politicians had that attitude, because if we don't ask the Supreme Judge of the Universe for guidance, we're going to go astray, and from the way you're talking, that's what you're going to do, right? You're going to look to him for guidance and direction?
100%. There's no way that we can make it in this world without God's help. We've got to have God's help. That's what he wants. He wants us to call upon him, and with that, he wants to have a relationship with us, but nations, he expects the same thing as well.
Yeah, it's a wonder when we turn away and tell God we don't need him, throw God out of school, throw God out of government, out of meetings, out of school board meetings, etc., parent-teacher meetings. Then we wonder why everything is in such a total mess, because he made it clear that there was the old paths are the best, the old ways, and that was what? Putting him first, letting him guide and direct. And I, you know, wonder why people can't get that simple message. I was saying, we end with an invitation. Is that something you'd like to do tonight, or do you want me to give an invitation? We didn't have a chance to talk before the show.
I'm more than happy to do that. You've got
right now about, I think if I'm right, Style, you've got about 5 minutes. Can you do it in about 4 minutes?
About 3 minutes.
Wrap up? 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Okay, you've got 3 minutes.
Well, I will say this,
folks. Give the invitation.
I will. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and maybe if you're not sure if God even exists, I would highly, highly recommend that you test him. I know God will hear you and he will answer you. And just call out to him. And if you're wondering how you're going to make it to the next, you know, paycheck, or how you're going to make it out of a bad situation, you call on the one person that has the power to change everything. And that's Jesus Christ.
We pray to the Father, and what's the first word Jesus said in his ministry was the word what? Repent, right?
That's right.
Repent, and that's the key to everything. That's what the key, what God said, we are to repent of our sins. We are to call upon his holy name. In fact, it was, he said, what? Then he says, John 3:3, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We have to be born spiritually. We have to have that spiritual baptism. Because what in John 1:12-13, but as many received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again. To be born again, well, it's really simple. It may be hard to do, but it's simple. We call upon the Father, and we tell him we're a sinner. We are a miserable, lousy sinner, and we need a Savior, and that we are sorry that our sins placed his Son upon that cross at Calvary, because his Son died a substitutionary death for you, for me, for Pastor Ernie, all that would receive him. And if we do that with a truly repentant heart, we will be forgiven. And then we can call upon Jesus Christ and ask him to become Lord of our life, our Lord and Savior, that we may accept him, and that we give ourselves to him willingly, without reservation.
1 minute.
And this is the important part. He loved us enough to die for us, take our place, and he asked us to become his servants, to let him be Lord. We have to give ourselves to him. And when we do that, he gives us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that indwelling of the Holy Spirit is our spiritual baptism. It's our down payment on everlasting life. And then we become joint heirs with Jesus and everlasting light and life and children of the kingdom. So we're at that point of the program tonight where we always say good night. We say God bless. And then we say always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring.
out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.